All right, listen, guys, I get it. Many of you are unable to financially support this ministry because you're spending your cash and your lives on raising young children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Praise God for you and that endeavor. However, algorithms are a thing. Shadow banning, sadly, is a thing. And one major way that you can help to expand the reach and effectiveness of this ministry that doesn't cost you a dime is by spending just a few moments leaving us a 5-star review. Also, perhaps even more effective than that, you can share our podcast with a friend. We hope you'll take the time to do so. Thank you so much. God bless.
Jesus said, "Man cannot live on bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You're listening to Daily Truth.
Jesus told a parable of a poor beggar named Lazarus and a rich man that Lazarus used to long to eat the crumbs that fell from this man's table. Lazarus, furthermore, in addition to starvation, he was afflicted by many wounds and sores that the rabid dogs of the first century world were not domesticated cute pets like we have today. This generation of people and culture opted for children instead of chihuahuas and purses. So the dogs were wild, licking his sores. He was in misery and agony. But eventually he died. And Jesus says in this parable that the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also dies, and he is carried to hell. Now, it's important to understand that before the cross, in terms of chronological human history, when people died, both the righteous and the wicked, they both went to what the Bible describes as the place of the dead, Hades. We use this language in our confession of faith each Lord's Day in our liturgy, that Jesus died and was buried. He descended to Hades. Now, there's a debate over the original language of the Apostles' Creed, whether it says hell or Hades. In either case, we've opted for the term Hades, realm of the dead. We see this in Peter's epistles, that Jesus descended to the realm of the dead and preached. He preached to spirits held captive. Now, this is not Jesus going to hell after his crucifixion and burial, before his resurrection, during this 3-day period, as his body is laid in the tomb. In his spirit, Peter says, he goes to the realm of the dead and preaches to spirits held captive. This is not to say that Jesus goes and preaches the gospel as a second opportunity for people in hell to believe and to then go to heaven. No, Jesus is pronouncing his victory. He's not going to the realm of the dead to preach an opportunity. He's going to the realm of the dead to announce his victory and to rub it in his enemies' faces. Once you die, that's it, brothers and sisters. There is no second opportunity. And there is no end to the conscious torment of hell. The Bible does not teach annihilationism. Hell will never end. The worm will not die. It will be a conscious torment under the white-hot wrath of God forever. And it's important that we understand that what makes hell so terrible is not because God is absent in hell. What makes hell so terrible is that God is present. And the torment that those who rebel against Christ and reject his offer of salvation, the torment that they will experience is the torment of God's wrath. What is absent in hell is not the presence of God, but the goodness of God. What is absent in hell is the kindness of God, the grace and mercy and love of God. For the non-elect, this world and this life is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. And for those of us who are in Christ, this world and this life is the closest we'll ever get to hell. If by grace through faith in Christ you have been saved, then the suffering you experience in this mist of a life, this vapor of a life, your mere 70, 80, 90 years, the suffering that you experience here is the worst it ever gets. It's all better from here on out. But for the non-elect, the joy that they experience in this life is the best they'll ever get. It's the closest to the goodness of God that they'll ever experience. And so Jesus descends to the realm of the dead. And in the realm of the dead, some old scholars believe that it was a physical realm, actually deep within the belly of this world, in a literal sense. And whether that's true or not, I lean towards not, but I really enjoy a good conspiracy, especially because most of them come true these days. So, whether it's physically in the belly of the earth or whether it was a spiritual place, the point is this, that there are two sections of Hades, hell and Abraham's bosom. So Jesus, when he dies, his body physically is buried in the tomb. And in the spirit, he descends to Hades. And in Hades, he proclaims his victory, preaches to spirits held captive. He is proclaiming his victory over demonic spirits and human souls, reprobates, who rejected him, even in the days of Noah, is what Peter says. Remember, Noah was a heralder of righteousness, is what the New Testament says. Apostles say that Noah for 120 years preached. He was not just an architect, a construction worker, building an ark, but he was a preacher. Noah preached for 120 years as God waited patiently with the sins of wicked, vile people. God waited and Noah preached. When the Bible says elsewhere that God has numbered man's years to be 120, we know that Moses lived to be 120. I believe that that is a coincidence. I believe that the numbering of man's years, 120 years, is not to say that if you're righteous, if you trust the Lord, if you're obedient, you will die on your 120th birthday. The 120 years, man's years, that were set and limited by God is referring to the days of Noah. That there were 120 years left until they all died, until God flooded the world. And for 120 years, Noah built an ark, which is a type of Christ, that the righteous would be taken up into the ark. And notice that in this narrative, this historic account, that it's the Lord himself, Noah builds the ark, but it is the Lord himself, I believe a theophany, the second member of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, before his incarnation, but Christ in the spirit with a physical, not incarnation, but a physical manifestation of the spiritual Christ who comes and physically closes the door. Seals these eight righteous persons, Noah, his wife, three sons, and their three wives, seals them up in the ark as a picture of the gospel. And for 120 years, Noah imaged Christ in the type of the ark, and he preached Christ. And these people rejected Christ. And when Christ dies and his body is physically buried in the tomb, in the spirit, he descends to Hades, not hell, but Hades, that is the realm of the dead, where there is a great chasm separating two sections of the realm of the dead. Abraham's bosom for the righteous who had faith in Jesus even before his earthly ministry, before his incarnation. That's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, the patriarchs, all of them. in Abraham's bosom, and across this great chasm, all those who rejected Christ. And Christ goes to the realm of the dead, namely Hades, and in Abraham's bosom with the righteous, he preaches across that chasm, condemning all those who rejected him, declaring his victory over them, and that includes human reprobate souls. It also includes certain demons that are so dangerous that they were not permitted by God to roam the earth, but they were locked, Jude speaks of this, in gloomy dungeons because they would wreak far too much havoc. These are some old school interpretations of Scripture today, which I'm much more interested in Christianity yesterday than Christianity today. I think Christianity tomorrow has a bright future, for the record. I don't think it's all downhill, but I think we're living in one of those moments where when I hear, you know, evangelicals say, we need a new translation, I'm like, let's let our grandkids do that. I don't think you guys are qualified. Like, this is just not the generation to do any serious exegetical work. You're all compromised. You're all woke. You're all feminist. Just sit a play out. Purchase some more dogs. Conservatives will have children. And then 80 years from now, our grandkids, you know, can build some new seminaries and do some serious work. So all that being said, Jesus descends to Hades, the realm of the dead. He proclaims his victory, and then he takes certain captives, liberates them, namely those in Abraham's bosom, the righteous, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. He takes these individuals and brings them now to heaven because his atoning work at Calvary is now finished and therefore can be particularly and practically applied. That's the historic teaching of Jesus' descent, the descent of Christ to the realm of the dead. Now, all that being said, the point is that there are some people who will never, ever receive Christ. And the parable that Christ tells of Lazarus, this poor beggar, and the rich man who is in hell, Hades, hell category, Lazarus, Hades, Abraham, bosom's category. This rich man, he says, send Lazarus to dip his finger in cold water and touch my tongue to quench my thirst, for I am in agony here. I'm in agony. And Jesus says in this parable that there's no way to cross this great chasm, so that even if someone did wish to go from one side to the other, it would be impossible. Impossible. And furthermore, the rich man then says, well, if you can't ease my torment, then send Lazarus back. He just has this constant mindset that Lazarus is still a servant. He doesn't really recognize that their hierarchical positions have been turned. He's in agony now. Lazarus is not his servant. He's not going to quench his thirst. He's not going to do his bidding. But this man says, I have 5 brothers that are still living, and I don't want them to come to this place of torment. So send Lazarus back from the dead, because they'll believe. I didn't believe, but they'll believe if someone rises from the dead. Jesus says in this parable, Abraham speaking, that they have Moses and the prophets, meaning they have God's law word, and all of it, types and shadows pointing towards the Christ, the sole object of saving faith. All that is available to them. And if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe even if one should rise from the dead. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is this: there is no degree or amount of evidence that is capable of convincing someone of the truth of Christ. It is a moral problem. People who go to hell are not people who say, I didn't know, or I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Or I met some Christians that preached the gospel, but they had a nasty tone, and it turned me off. And so therefore, my rejection of you because of these Christians' bad tone, that justifies me for rejecting you, right? No. No. No, it's not a mere matter of evidence. It's a matter of the heart.
Can I be frank with you for just a second, right here at the end? Look, some of you guys, you're financially supporting this ministry, and from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you. I cannot thank you enough. However, some of you, you can't afford it. In fact, some of you, you shouldn't afford it. Let's be honest. I mean, we're living in Joe Biden's ridiculous economy. Our nation and our totalitarian political elites lost their minds over the last 3 years due to COVID. We have written checks that we simply cannot cash. It doesn't matter if people change the definition of a recession. We are living in a recession right now, regardless. Some of you are struggling to afford a carton of eggs at the grocery store. You cannot support financially this ministry at this time, nor should you. But you could still help us tremendously. I am asking you, please, if you're willing to do so, take 1 minute of your time. Leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform, iTunes, Spotify, whatever that might be. This is the way the system works. We want to be innocent as doves, but shrewd as vipers. We need to be strategic. You leave us a 5-star review, and our podcast shows up for more people. And the Word of God and courageous theology applied in practical ways to every realm of life gets out there. Help us get it out there. Thanks for tuning in.